talked about how he helps us at salvation. He talks about all these different things that he gives, but he also supplies one thing for us that we need to remember. He gives us a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit provides every child of God with one or more gifts, spiritual gifts. God teaches us in his word that about the spiritual gifts of the Spirit. These gifts tie into a divine enabling that the Holy Spirit provides. They are special abilities given to us at salvation for the express purpose of serving God and fulfilling his call. Your gift perfectly matches your calling. It's what you love to do. It's what you're naturally good at. By his Spirit, it's what you do best to serve God and his people. According to the Bible, God has given the Holy Spirit enables you with a specific spiritual gift, and he wants you to use that gift in service for him. And I think it's good to understand what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in our lives. Most people enjoy receiving gifts. Most people sometimes make a bigger deal out of receiving gifts or giving gifts than necessary. I heard a story once about a lady who was only a week before Christmas, and she hadn't sent out all her Christmas cards yet. And she was really worried about it, so she went out and she bought two packs really fast. She sent out 49 cards. And then on that Christmas day, she opened up the cards that she sent out, and she hadn't noticed that the little thing said inside, "There's something special on the way for you." She didn't realize that she had sent out cards that said that there was going to be a gift following. She was so worried about getting it done, she had missed that part of it. And you say, what does that have to do? You know, giving and receiving gifts is a wonderful opportunity we have, but the Holy Spirit of God provides a gift for us that he wants us to use. You ever receive a gift that you really didn't fit you or what you needed, and maybe it's still sitting in a box upstairs, up in your closet? Maybe you're thinking that next year you can put that into the gift exchange. I've heard people who have gotten the gift exchange gift 1 year and they bring it back the next year because they wasn't able to use it for themselves. So, now, few Christians ever understand spiritual gifts, much less they discover their own gifts and use them for God's work. But I honestly believe one of the most important things we can do is understand what our spiritual gift is and then continue doing the work for it. After our salvation, it is our job to discover, to develop, and deploy your spiritual gifts in the service of God. Nothing will ignite your passion for ministry and your joy in the Lord more than using your divine enabling for his glory. Serving in the area of your giftedness is beyond enjoyable as one of the most rewarding and fulfilling experiences in your Christian life. And what we're going for and what we're trying to understand here is God's got something for you to do. He has never intended us, the Christian life, to be a spectator support. He has never intended us for us to just sit there and not do anything. He would like for us to use these gifts for God, and we need to be good stewards of them. Now, I know some people are thinking, well, my gifts, what are you talking about? And we're not talking about some sensationalism type things of the speaking in tongues or drinking poison or other things like they did maybe in the first century church. That was apostolic type power that he had given them, sign gifts to talk to people about the fact that what Christianity was real. These were temporary sign gifts, and they were used and amazingly at the beginning of the church. But the Bible says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When we had the word of God that was given to us completely and totally, these sign gifts died off with those first century disciples. The gifts we're going to study, they're practical, they're ministry oriented, and I believe in some way, some shape or form, these serving gifts are things that God has given you specifically to help you understand what you should be doing in your Christian walk, in your Christian life, and in your service for God. I know there are some things people enjoy doing. I know if I ask some of you to get up front and teach Sunday school class, some of you be like, great, I got a lot to say, I got a lot on my heart. Other ones would be, you could not pay me enough to get up here and stand in front of people and talk. Some people would enjoy serving and helping others, enjoy going to a nursing home, enjoy going to a hospital visit. And other people would say, those places creep me out. You know, there's different gifts and different specific things God has given us and abilities and things that God actually has enabled us to do. This does not mean we do not do the things that we think are important, but these are the things that we we see the things we enjoy most are the things that he has given us. Spiritual gifts explained. When you accepted Christ, God gave you an ability by the Holy Spirit to serve him in a unique way. He enabled you to meet a specific need in the body of your local church family. 1 Peter 4:10 puts it this way. As every man, and you see this word every, man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now here's the thinking here. So he's saying that every person has received this gift. Now let's be a good steward of this gift. He has given you a talent. He's given you an ability that has been divine enabled for you to do. And he says, look, even so minister the same one to another. This is something we're supposed to take these gifts and use it for God and for his glory. Even if you don't know what it is or don't feel particularly gifted in a specific area, the Bible teaches us that you do have a special gift that you can use to serve God. And it teaches you that it's important to be a good steward of this gift. We talked about being a good steward of trials. We talked about being a good steward of time and our treasure. But being a good steward of the talents and the gifts that God has given us is important. Let's look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And let's look here in verses 18 through 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 18 says, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And it's referring here to a local body, a local group of church members. God, it says that God has brought them to this spot as it has pleased him. And I think this is interesting when you think about it. This is what pleases God. This is not something that, I wish I had this talent, I wish I had this ability, I wish I was members of another church, or I wish this, I wish that. It says, as please God. God has placed you in here for a certain purpose and a certain reason. And if they were all one member, where were the body? If everyone was the head or the arm or the foot, what would the purpose there? There would be no body. Everybody would be one certain specific thing. Verse number 20, but now are they many members, yet one body. And it's referring here to, as a local church here, it's referring to many members. There's many people that make up one local church, but there's one body. And it's referring to the local church, but also to the body of Christ. And it's speaking about the different importances of the different areas. You think it says in verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. Now, if you picture this, it seems pretty ridiculous for a hand to look at an eye and say something, because obviously it can't. But at the same time, sometimes Christians think that their purpose and their reason inside a local body is more important than other people's importance out there. And they'll look at you and say, I see what you do, and what you do is not very important. We really don't need you around here. But you go back to verse number 18, this is how God has pleased to set up. He has given every different person a different job, a different gift, a different responsibility to make a local church work. And it says, verse 22, much more, those members of the body which seem to be most feeble are necessary. He said, look, even those people would consider these gifts that they have received maybe aren't as good or as cool or as exciting as someone else. They're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And it's amazing. You sit there and see the way that God looks at things. The things that we would look at people and we would honor them for what they do, the way God sees them, he says it's even more honorable for the other gifts, the other responsibilities. You think about how he says, who's going to be first in the kingdom? Those who are servants, those who are ministers, those who look to the needs of others. And it says here, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. So you think about it, he is saying, he has tempered. He has brought the body together. He has said that these groups from these families, from these different backgrounds, he has brought together to Faith Baptist Church to do his work and to do his calling. So when we consider this, God's word is teaching us in this passage that he wants to place you into a local church, family as a member, that you might be part of the body, participating his work with your church. And that's why I think it's important that you find the right church and you invest yourself and you stay, because he has a purpose and he has a plan for you. Sometimes when people think, hey, I can just go from one church to another church, to another church, to another church, to another church, and not have any real, I think they are minimizing the importance of the local church. I think they're minimizing of the gifts that God has really given them and saying, look, I have enabled you for this gift. This church needs you. Now, you say the word needs you. You know, God doesn't need anybody per se, but he makes us able to, gives us talents, gives us abilities. And he says, the reason why I designed you this way and enabled you this way is so you could fit in and do this part over here. He teaches you that you're vital to the health and strength of the rest of the body. And this is the case. We need one another to help be strong for our church. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, it's important. What should you do with your spiritual gift? What should you do with your talent? Should you take it and hide it? Should you take it and sit on it and say, I have this ability. No one else can do what I can do. Because of that, I'm not going to do anything. You say, that sounds ridiculous. But that's the case sometimes. Some people think that they are more comely, more important. Because of that, they'll look at others and say, we don't need you. You're not important. But a church needs to be filled with people who are older and who know and who can teach. But they also need to be filled with people who are just recently saved or immature, and you're trying to grow along. There's steps. There's discipleship and there's salvation. Salvation, baptism, discipleships. And these gifts that he's giving to us, there's a purpose. And sometimes we fit in wrong spots. That sometimes people, because they're being a servant and because there is a need, they'll turn around and they'll do something that really is not what they're gifted to do. God wants you to be a good steward of this gift. He wants you to use the gift. Remember, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The great result of using your gift is that others are helped. As the entire church family ministers to each other and to the community, the gospel changes lives. That's the way to the local church is supposed to work. And it's the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to help, and that way the local church can help change lives. And I don't have a problem with people volunteering to do things for other organizations. I know the local church is the one that God has ordained, and God has a lot of work that's into it. But I know people help do other things. But when people give of their time and their efforts and their talents and do nothing at the church, it makes me wonder. Because God has given you those talents and those feelings and those things to help minister. And there's lots of things that people can do at the church that they don't even see as an important thing. Too often the church, people make a church a spectator event. We attend services, we listen to songs, we hear sermons, and then we go home. These things are vital, but the local church life should be a fully engaged life. It should be one that is immersed with experiencing, plunging our hearts in participation, growth, fellowship, and service for God's people. It should say, hey, God's given me these gifts, God's given me these talents, and underneath the local church and underneath the leadership of the local church, I'm going to do my best to be a blessing to this church. Because what is church supposed to do? It's supposed to lift one another. It's supposed to encourage one another. It's supposed to build one another to the point that we can be a blessing to others and see others saved. The early Christians, they understood this. They were steadfast. This says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking in bread and in prayers. You know what? They didn't take a back seat. This was not, the church was not something, oh, it's okay, and we'll put you back here on the back burner, but let me do this, 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 and this. Don't get me wrong. Family is the first ministry. I agree with that. God instituted the family before he instituted the church, but they should coincide together. They should work together. You should be able to minister together as a family. And you should say, you know what? This is a priority in my life. What am I doing? What gift am I using to help minister? See, he has supplied this for us. This is not something we work up on our own. God says in his word, he has enabled every person, every Christian, to have some type of gift we should be using to help others. So let's think about the description of the spiritual gifts. Let's take our Bibles to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12 will give us a present day of spiritual gifts. that are designed here. You say, Pastor, I don't think all the gifts are mentioned in the Bible. I'm not going to disagree or argue or fight you with that. I know sometimes certain people have certain gifts and certain abilities to the point that it might fall underneath one of these categories. And you can't just write everything down on a piece of paper and say, you got to pick one of these six or one of these seven gifts. No, God enables us and makes us. And it's one of the most exciting things in all the world. One of the most exciting things in all the world is for you to do what God's called you to do. Now, there are certain things I'm not very good with. Working with 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds are not my gift. Because at that age, I'm not sure if they really know how to behave because they haven't learned it at home. If you give me a child that knows how to behave and chooses not to, I can correct them. I can deal with them. But a little 4-year-old you look at and you correct and they're completely just mesmerized that you're asking him not to say that word, that you're telling them to sit down. They might not have any training at school, might not have any training at home. And it's tough for me to work at that age group. I sat back with on the Pee Wee class this past Wednesday night, and I appreciate those teachers that were in there because they worked with them. They had a gift for that. That's not my gift. Do I do it? Sometimes, if necessary, I step in and try to help, but that's not what I get excitement and enjoyment out of. I enjoy serving God, but there are certain things inside your life that God initiates in your heart, divinely enables you to do, and he can make these things exciting to serve. Sometimes people get such joy out of doing certain things that I look at and say, that would be a chore. That's something that has to be done. Or, oh, I love doing it. Sometimes when people clean, and I'm not the best cleaner in the world, I do it. I do it plenty of times. But at the same time, when I look at that, I'm thinking, okay, this is something that has to be done. But there are people out there who enjoy making things look good, making things look right. There's just different talents and different gifts. Here in Romans chapter 12, it says in verses 6 through 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace. Now, isn't this wonderful? These gifts are according to the unmerited favor of God in our life. We don't deserve any gift, but that is given to us. And then it begins, wherefore prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to look through each of these gifts. And like I said, I had some papers up here. Did you pass those out, Mr. Chambers? Okay. We're going to give them out at the end because I know that people would be working on them, but we're not even going to work on them right now. We're going to work on them at the end, or you can do what you want. You're grown adults, but those were meant for you to take home with you, or if we had time at the end for you to look at to help you understand a little bit more about what your spiritual gift is. It is not a perfect example. The best way you could do it is by looking at some things and looking at these 6 or 7 things and saying, letting God work on your heart. But these are just things to help you see where things you enjoy doing, things that you are naturally doing with the Holy Spirit's help, and help you understand which one of your gifts are. First of all, prophecy. Before the Bible was complete, prophecy was a twofold thing. Twofold. First thing was foretelling. Foretelling is what most often people associate with prophecy. It's the really cool part of prophecy too. You think, when Micah writes down that Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. Nobody else knew that. I mean, that was great that he got the chance to do that. But that was not the main ministry of the prophets back then. It was not, every day they're coming up with a new thing. Oh, tomorrow, it's going to rain. That's not what they did. They foretold. There's also foretelling. It was the preaching and teaching of God's word. It was something that God gave them to do and says, I have a message for you to deliver, and here's your message. And oftentimes, it did not involve the foretelling part. Oftentimes, it was just teaching and preaching the word of God. Even the Old Testament, it was the main ministry of the prophets was to just foretell, is to say, here's the truth, let's speak the truth of the word of God. Now, today we have a completed revelation of God. I don't think there will be anything that will be new unto us. We will be illuminated to certain things. And the spiritual gift of prophecy is a call from God to preach his word. Obviously, pastors and evangelists should have this calling and this gift on their lives. These Christians should be passionate to declare the word of God, and it's something that is a gift. The next one is the gift of ministry. Now, many people would call this, and has in other areas, it's a gift of helps. It's a how to minister to one another. The spiritual gift is also known the gift of helps. It is a desire to serve and help God's people in a variety of ways. Oftentimes volunteering service in an unglamorous or unappreciated job. Christians with this gift love serving and helping, and they love making a vision a reality. You say, what do you mean a vision? We're not going back to the prophecy side, but it goes back with God works in our hearts, and God works maybe in my heart about having a theme or a goal, something like a friend day, and he says, you know what? I see that. I want to help get that done. And you know, in Acts chapter 6, we're going to talk about this morning and talk about this first set of those seven men that were called, and you know, they need to weighed on the widow's tables, and we called them the first deacons, but it talks about it's just somebody there to help, someone there to do it, that the word of God. And so the first deacons had this gift of ministry when they could help care for the needs of the widows and the apostles might give themselves. And it says prayer into the ministry of the word. They said, look, we can't stop what we're doing to go wait on these tables. And at that time, that church was probably 25,000 members. Can you imagine the 12 deacons and apostles trying to manage every facet of a 25,000 people congregation? They would kill themselves. They would run themselves into an early grave. And he says, no, look out among you. And we're going to look at that later on. But I want you to understand, these helps part is something that many people have that gift and have that ability, and I see them help so often and so much in so many other areas. It should also translate here at church, because that's what God has given you that gift to do. Yes, it is to be a help to other, but never underestimate the importance of a spiritual gift of a ministry. If you have a passion to serve behind the scenes, be faithful, be diligent, be a good steward, knowing your service is vital. As you see others serving, remember that they are exercising their spiritual gifts, serving under the grace of God. This is a gift that some people have. Does that mean you can look at it when we have fellowship time, when we have everybody sitting there cleaning up, everybody's working, you sit there and say, that's not my gift? No, obviously not. That's just, that's not really what the intention is there. But there are some who will help organize, and there are some who will help follow through. There are some who will be given certain jobs and they enjoy that side of it. Next one. Teaching. This is the ability and desire to teach God's word in truth and help people understand how his word applies to their lives. This is not a person who will take a verse and hit somebody over the head with it and then say, there, learn it. No. As someone who enjoys teaching the word of God, making it applicable, making it understandable to their lives. His word is what's powerful. These Christians love to dig into God's word and make it understandable to the hearers. You will often find those with the spiritual gift to teach, teaching Sunday school classes or other teaching ministries of the church. It requires diligent study and sound interpretation of scripture. It is a vital need for every local church. And this is a person who will come alongside and help disciple somebody else. They might not have that helps gift as much as somebody else do. They might not have the gift to preach or prophecy and the idea to, in a large setting. No. This is a person who will come alongside and try to help a young believer or a new believer. This is not a person who thinks that they're high and mighty. You go back to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What does it say? It's every member and every gift is important. Do not think that because you have the opportunity to teach or have a good understanding of the word of God that you are more higher than somebody else. You know, God maybe has given you a gift to learn. Maybe God has given you a gift to enable. Man, use that gift. Be a blessing with that gift. But don't think yourself higher than somebody else. And sometimes people who are really smart, sometimes they become a little bit arrogant with their knowledge, and they try to belittle people. That's not what God intended when he has given people a gift to teach or to learn the word of God. Exhortation. This is another one where people talk about encouraging. Now, I think we should be encouraging I think everybody should be an encourager. I think that is something that every one of us can do. But some of us have a divine enablement to be an encourager to others. And I tell you that you probably can think of people who have encouraged you along the way over the years. And I can think of people who come alongside and, you know, they are a blessing. I know we use a fire poker. And that's, you know, here, you know, that was great. Somebody who can encourage you to get going. It's the ability and desire to encourage others in their Christian life. These Christians love to lift up others with positive words and deeds. And I'm not talking about fakeness here. I am talking about somebody who is designed by God, enabled by God to look at somebody and go there and encourage them. You know, some people do it fake. Some people, you know, they don't really sincerely mean what they're saying. But here is a person who does it with an enablement of God. The exhorter is especially concerned with the heart, not just the outward performance. Exhorters are like in a church, a fire poker. They want to motivate others to love. They want to motivate others to serve God. And they have with a wholehearted passion to go along and say, I appreciate what you're doing. Keep up what you're doing. Work with what you're doing as an encourager. Another one, I believe, is giving. And once again, we haven't been going back and forth to Romans chapter 12, but you see these words in here and the description that is given in here, and it talks about giving. It says in verse number 6, having these gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, we talked about that. You go to verse number 7, or ministry, we talked about the gifts. Let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. So here it is, same thing. Is that, you know, it's giving another gift that God has given us. God has enabled others to give to the work of God. This is the ability and desire to give to God's work and God's people. It is accompanied by the provision to give. These Christians are generous by nature and love to give to God's work. But you see, when it says do it with simplicity, it means that we should be free from pretense. It means that when we're giving, we have great delight in this, and we're giving the need to others. We're trying to further the work of God. Remember, we're all together in one body, and we're working together as members. If those who are giving, they do their part, then the church is taken care of. Does this mean that we should not tithe? No. It's just saying that God enables certain people, sometimes mostly with financial gifts, or just has a heart to want to give to others. And they do it with the intention of being a blessing and a help to the church. Next one, ruling. Ruling. I know that they use that word ruling, but it's referring to administration. The person that can be in charge. And not everybody can be in charge. If everybody was in charge, you know what? We'd have a mess on our hands. There's got to be someone who organizes, someone who does these things. This is the ability to lead. This is the administrative part of God's work. It reveals itself through natural abilities to organize, think, be strategic, implement a plan, coordinate teams of people. These Christians love to bring things to order and make things happen in God's work. They have a God-given ability to manage and administrate, and they find great joy in seeing order and progress. You know, this is important. This is a God-given ability, someone who can lead, someone who can rule, someone who can be in charge. But it's important that you do it. It says, let he that ruleth with diligence. It's something that you follow through with. Mercy, the next one. Mercy. This is a God-given ability where people actually have the ability to feel the pains of others and help during the trials. And I've met people like this. I've seen husbands and wives, and even when I was looking through this list, I was thinking, that's a gift that my wife has that I really don't have. And I looked at that one and said, that's a gift that I have that my wife doesn't have. And, you know, there's different amazing, but I sit and listen, and I hear some people say, you know, they need to just deal with it. And I hear other people's hearts are broken saying, man, I feel what they're going through. There's a difference there in mercy. This is a God-given ability to feel the pain of others and help them during trials. Those with the gift of mercy are naturally good at sympathizing and empathizing with those carrying heavy burdens. They know what to say, they know when to be silent, and have a good bedside manner. These Christians love to visit hospitals and minister to those who are suffering. Those who are show mercy are the most adept at fulfilling the command to rejoice with them that rejoice, do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. God has given each Christian at least one of these gifts or some form of this gift. You could turn around and say, well, Pastor, my gift is here. I think it falls underneath these categories, and he desires for you to use that gift and to serve while in the local church. Now, we need to move through here a little quickly, but spiritual gifts practice. We need to discover our spiritual gift. And that's what those papers are supposed to help you understand is, you know what, we need to be passionate. We need to want to be effective about this. We need to want to encourage this. Specifically, identify what your spiritual gift is. Help find the areas in the church in which God has gifted you for ministry. Now, once again, it does not mean that we ignore the other areas. There are some times where the hand has to do the foot job because the foot isn't doing what it's supposed to do. But people without a spiritual gift of mercy can still visit a member that's in the hospital. People without the spiritual gift of giving, they're still commanded to give. People without the spiritual gift of teaching still has the ability to help others. But we need to recognize what excites us and what makes us work and what makes us tick, so that way we can enjoy serving and want to be a blessing to others. What is a church supposed to be? It's not just here to entertain. It's not just here to teach. It's here to be alive. It's here to grow. It's here to help people get saved. It's here to help people get baptized. It's here to help people get discipled. And that's why we must, once we understand, and that's what that spiritual gifts test, if you like it, great. I did not write it. I typed it out, or I took a little while to make all the things line up. And so I think it's a good thing. It helped you understand some of your strengths and your weaknesses. Develop your spiritual gifts. Do everything you can to develop your gift. God's given you a gift, then use it. Refine it. Don't sit there and say, well, I just have that helps gift that I'm not important. And like we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Foot can't say to the mouth, I don't need you. It doesn't. We all need it. It's important. And when one of us are not doing what we're supposed to do, someone else has to pick up that other responsibility. Do everything you can to develop. These raw gifts God has given you will mature, and they will multiply with time and with use. If you get into it and you enjoy understanding it and learning it and seeing, you know, Pastor, I have this ability for encouraging, then do your best to be an encouragement. Be the person that sends cards. Be the person, not everybody can send a card. I mean, I don't know if everybody really wants to get 50 cards when they're sick. They probably don't. I'm not trying to be mean. I think that's an important ministry and that's an important thing. But there are certain people that are encouragers, or certain people who walk up and try to encourage. Use that gift. Develop that gift. Ask God to help you with that gift. Deploy your spiritual gifts. Get involved. Let God get you plugged into the local church. You know, you imagine. Imagine if the church did these things. You think about it. From Sunday school classes, discipleship, to all the weekly activities, those with gifts of teaching would effectively communicate God's word to soft hearts. Those with the gifts of helps would be serving food, helping in classes, cleaning, and doing the groundwork. Those with the gift of prophecy would be preaching God's word in churches, nursing homes, and extension ministries. Those with the gifts of mercy would be visiting hospitals and homes and ministering to the sick and the suffering. Those with the gifts of encouragement would be strengthening the weary, ministering to the homeless, uplifting the discouraged. Those with the gift of giving would give significantly, investing into the work of God with all the resources. Those with the gift of administration would bring order to teams and projects, helping bring strategy and order and a vision, and making everything a reality. You think about it. In these scenarios, people are not resenting the gifts of others. People are not saying, hey, I'm more important than this person. They are just focusing on the talents that God has given them and giving everyone the opportunity to do the things that God wants them to do in that local ministry. Don't get disappointed because you don't get to be the ruling one, the one that's in administration. Don't think that you are belittled just because you have a gift, just the gift to teach or just the ability to encourage. And I think a person can have multiple gifts. But the important thing is it helps when someone has been enabled by God to do a certain gift, that you give them that talent, you give them that ability, and you give them that opportunity without having to do 100 other things. You give them that one focus so they can excel and they can thrive and they can help grow in that area. But when we don't have people that are willing to do the areas that God had told them and enabled them to do, other people have to come help with the help areas or with the mercy areas or with these other areas. I think it's important that we understand God has supplied us. He has given us a certain gift. Now use it. Say, Pastor, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know if those papers are the best way for you to figure it out or not. I think looking to the Holy Spirit of God and asking Him for help, looking at these things, meditating on these things, saying, Lord, what areas have you enabled me to do? I think you could find it out. You could talk to people that are close to you. And even some of those questions you could look at and say, you know, to your wife or husband, honey, what do you think is the number for this one for me? Because I'm a little confused about this one. When they say, what other people describe you as? You know, how are you going to describe what other people think you as? But, you know, has that other people said those things? You know what? It's important to find what God has instituted and what God has made you to do. Why did he give that gift? It's so you don't neglect it. Neglect not the gift that's in thee. Use that gift. Use it to help grow our church. Use that gift to help grow the work of God. It's not about pleasing me. It's not about pleasing others. You know, it's about serving for a purpose and for a reason. The reason for a church is so much greater than anything that's in ourselves. To reach people, see people saved, see people discipled. We need to stop looking at church as some just little thing or some part of it, how I can enjoy and what I can get out of it, and say, I get to be a part. I get to be a part of the members. There is one body. I'm going to do my part to take care of doing what God has called me to do. Unfortunately, you hear most churches say, you know, 90% of the people, 10% of people do 90% of the work. I don't think that's the case at our church, but I do see some that are hands and doing foot jobs because other people aren't helping and doing what they can. Let God work on your heart and use this and help it and do it inside the local ministry. Don't just say, well, I can use my gifts. You can use your gifts other spots, but your church family, remember, you're part of a body. Use it to be a member. Do your part. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.